Welcome, Tom. Welcome back to another in our ongoing series of Shiurim and Daf Yomi. We are now in Ktubot Daf Nun Tet Amud Bet at the Mishnah. We have a relatively long Shiur today because we're going to cover the entire piece, which has an interesting and relatively long tangent. Let's get started immediately. This Mishnah and the entire Sugya is focused on those duties that a wife is obligated to perform in the house. As part of the contractual agreement of marriage. Up until now, we've been chiefly dealing with the husband's responsibilities towards his wife and the quid pro quo in kind, and now we will take a look at the flip side. Ve'ilu melachot shehaisha osah leba'ala. This is, of course, Mishnah Hey in the fifth parak. Ve'ilu melachot shehaisha osah leba'ala. Tochenet, which means to run the mill, ve'ofa, baking, mechabeset, laundry, mevashelet, cooking, v'nikat b'na, nursing her own son, meaning her son with him, matzat lo hamita, making the beds, as we'll see why I'm interpreting that way, ve'osa v'tzemer, working, spinning wool, hichnisa lo shifcha chat, let's say she brought one shifcha, one servant with her into the marriage, then a few of the items drop off, lo tochenet, she doesn't grind, v'lo ofa, and she does not bake, v'lom mechabeset, and she does not do laundry. Shtaim, if she brings in two shvachot, ein mevashelet ve'ein minikat b'na, she also drops cooking and nursing, she can hire a wet nurse. Shalosh, ein matzat lo hamita, ve'ein osah batzemer, she does not make the beds or work spinning wool. And arba, if she has four, then yoshev b'katedra, she sits in an easy chair all day. A katedra, from where the parenthetically the word cathedral comes directly from that word, is a Greek word which means a fancy chair. Why it is a cathedral is another issue. It leads to that. Rabbi Eliezer disagrees with that last statement, that if we have four servants, she doesn't need to work at all. Even if she brings in 100 servants, kofa lasot batzemer, he forces her to do work, spinning wool. Why? Shehabatala mevi'a l'dei zima. If she's doing nothing, it's going to lead to promiscuity. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel issues a relevant psak, or records a relevant psak, that shares the same spirit. If a man takes a neder where he adjures his wife not to do malacha, then yotzivi tank tuba. He should immediately divorce her, and he owes her the ktuba. Shabbat alam v'yavadei shamum, because idleness leads to ennui, and that's something it's not fair to spring upon her, telling her she can't work. Now, the first thing the Gemara deals with is the first malacha, which is tochenet. Tochenet sakadaitach, you mean really running the mill? Ela ema mitachenet. It means that she prepares all the things to bring to the mill. Maybe it does mean a mill, but it's a hand mill. She's not expected to run the whole water mill, but a hand mill she could do, or to bring the things to the hand mill, to the water mill. Now, manitin lo Rabbi Chiya. Parenthetically, our entire Mishnah does not follow the stream of thinking of Rabbi Chiya, of the whole range of malachot. Tani Rabbi Chiya ein isha elo liyofi, ein isha elo lebanim. Women are for beauty and for having children. Tani Rabbi Chiya, ein isha elo tachshite isha. He also said, therefore, be decking in jewels. Tani Rabbi Chiya rotzas yashiyadin el ishto, and in line with that, Rabbi Chiya gave two pieces of advice. If he wants to make his wife look pretty, yalbishana klei pishtani, should have her wear white flax linen clothes. Rotzas yalbin pito, if he wants his daughter to have a fair complexion, yachilana efrochim v'yashkana chalav, he should feed her chicks, young chickens, and milk. Samuch lepirka doesn't necessarily mean together, although not necessarily not together. Samuch lepirka means just before she reaches puberty. She put on her diet like that, sort of a milk-fed diet, as it were, and she will have a fair skin. Okay. Umenikat b'na. This is going to be the long tangent. The Mishnah says that one of the things she has to do is to nurse her son. Now, lemat nitin lo kevet shammai. It sounds like our Mishnah does not comport with the opinion of Beit Shammai. Tanya nadrash alanika b'na. If a woman takes a neder, and this will take us back to the previous podcast, if a woman takes a neder not to nurse her son, but shamar mim shomet dad mipiv, it says she can pull the teat away from his mouth, and that's it. Betalal mim kofa umenikta. Betalal says the husband could force her to nurse. Why? Because that's something that she has the responsibility to do. She can't take a neder against it. That's a shibud. Now nitgarsha, according to Beit Hillel, of course, if he divorces her, then enako enokofa, he can't force her to do it anymore, because she's no longer mishubat. Vimhayam makira, if the kid was very familiar with the mother, so that he's not willing to nurse with anybody else, then notain laschara, the husband, now the ex-husband, has to pay her the kofa uminikto, and he can force her to nurse, nasakana, because it's dangerous. Now, we're going to go back to this issue at length in a moment, but in the meantime, just the issue about whether Beit Shammai could be the author of our Mishnah, now also the author. So Beit Shammai, who notan espa ben shinah, v'tol sabri hi na espa ben shinah. Important to note that within nidarim that a woman takes, there are really two components. A woman who's married, or a girl who's a na'ara or tana of age and at home, has a partner in the neder, which is the husband, or in the other case, the father. So when she takes a neder, the husband or father has three options. Option one is to remain silent, let it run its course, and after 24 hours, it becomes a neder, or it's mekuyam. On the other hand, he can repudiate the neder, hafarat nedarim. Third thing is he can actually be mekayim the neder, and support and confirm it on the spot, and it becomes a real neder. The question is, when he confirms the neder, whose neder is it? Is it chiefly her responsibility because she made the neder, or chiefly his because he confirmed it? So we're suggesting that Beit Shammai, who said that when a woman takes a neder not to nurse, it is effective, may be talking about a case where she took the neder and the husband confirmed it. And Beit Shammai is of the opinion that hu natan etzva ben shina, that in a case of confirmation, it's really the husband's neder. It's like he put his finger in her mouth. He's the one who pushed her. And Beit Hillel holds she's the one who has responsibility, and therefore, since she has a legitimate debt to nurse, if she tries to get out of it, that doesn't work. If, on the other hand, he excuses her by confirming the neder, then it does work. Now, so if the dispute between Beit Shammai and Hillel is not about nursing, but it's about, in general, the woman's ability to excuse herself from her obligations via her taking a neder and the husband confirming and where the responsibility lies and therefore the effectiveness of the neder, then let them disagree about ketubah in general. Besides that, we have an explicit writer that Beit Shammai says the woman does not have to nurse. Now we have to go back to our original thing. It's clear, michvarta, that our Mishnah does not comport with Beit Shammai. Now, imhayam makira, back in our Braita, it said that if the child knows the mother, how do we test that? So, ad kama, how long was she nursing? Let's say that a woman was nursing for a period of time and then got divorced and says, I don't want to nurse anymore. At what point do we say there's already a bond between the child and the mother, and we cannot allow the mother to hand him off to somebody else because he might not nurse? Rav says, 3 months. Shmuel Amar, 30 yom. Shmuel gives a much smaller time frame, 30 days. He maintains that after 30 days the child is bonded, and that's it. Let's split the difference just about, which is 50 days. They entertain 30 and 90, so 50 is a little less than half of the way there. Now, okay, so the halacha is the 50 days. Now, bishlam harav Rabbi Yochanan, we understand 3 months and 50 days. Kochad v'chad ki churfei. Each one, and they're not really disagreeing, right? That some kids are a little sharper, and after 50 days they pick up. Others at 3 months. We understand what the difference is. El Shmuel, but Shmuel said 30 days, ki agavna mimishkach adla, since when do you find any kid who within 30 days builds such a bond? So the answer is going to be something that will surprise us a little bit, because Rav Yehuda was evidently the one who presented us this statement of Shmuel that it's 30 days. So ki ata Rami bar Yechezkel, Rami bar Yechezkel was Rav Yehuda's brother. When he came from Eretz Yisrael, evidently, Amar lo tzitzitino lahani klali dekayil Yehuda achim yishbeni Shmuel. Don't accept all of the reports that my brother Yehuda gives you in the name of Shmuel. And then the Gemara adds, in other words, we're pulling that statement from another context, saying that the reliability of the transmission of Shmuel's words is not always 100%. And we have another statement of Shmuel that's a lot more to our liking, a lot more reasonable. Hachim Shmuel kozman shemikira. It's simply whenever the kid recognizes her, which means Shmuel disagrees fundamentally with Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, who give time frames. He said it's up to the kid, and the only way to know is to test it. And now we hear a story to support it. Hahinda atoy lokami to Shmuel. There's a woman who came to Shmuel. Evidently, she'd gotten divorced and didn't want to nurse the kid. And the ex-husband was claiming, or perhaps his agents were claiming, that the child is already bonded. Amar le Rav Dimra Yosef, he told one of his students, Zil Badka, go check her out. How did they check her out? Azal utva b'hadi nashi, b'dari nashi. They put her with a bunch of other women, kind of like a lineup. V'shakli lebara, they took the kid, v'kamahadile alayu, and they brought the kid to all of the women to nurse. Kimata legaba, when the kid came to her, havat kamasvi la'apa, she was turning her head, he was turning to look at her, and he was staring at her. Kafshatinu la'ena minei. She tried to turn her eyes away. Amarla, so the rabbi said, Netafenaich, look at him. Kum daibrech, take your son. In other words, it was clear the child had developed a special bond with her already, regardless of the time frame, and therefore she had a nurse. Suma menayada, so how are you going to do the same thing with a child who happens to be blind? Avashi berecho v'tama, the child builds a bond with the mother through her smell and through her taste. And that's how he gets the bond. Okay, now Tana Rabbanan. This now is going to take us away from the issue of ketubah, and away from the issue of uniquely the responsibility of a woman, especially a divorced woman, to continue nursing. Yonek tinok v'holech ad 24 chodesh. A child can continue to suckle for 24 months. Mikan ve'ilach kionek sheketz. Afterwards, it's like he's nursing from a treif animal. Because remember, a human being is not kosher. And that's going to be kind of where we take part of this discussion. Divrei Rebbe Eliezer. So Rebbe Eliezer puts a 2-year cap on it. Afterwards, not allowed to. Rabbi Shua Amar Afilo Arba V'Chamesh Shanim. Rabbi Shua says there is no cap, even 4 or 5 years. And presumably he would even go further than that, just meaning as long as the child's nursing. Peresh Lachar Simbar B'Chodesh U'Chazar. Rabbi Shua adds, though, that if the child, after 24 months, stopped nursing and then went back, then Kinoik Sheketz. Then I agree with you, it's like eating treifos. Now, Amar Marmi, Kanvei Elach Kinoik Sheketz. Let's just look at the entire underlying principle, which is that drinking human milk is a treif. Urmini, we have a challenge. Yachol yehei chalav mahal chishtayim tamei. I might think that the milk of a human is tamei, just like the milk of any animal that's not kosher. Hayotse minat tamei tamei. Anything that comes out of the results of the body, byproducts of the body of a tamei, are tamei, like pig's milk, for instance. Vidinhu, and I could argue kal v'chomer that mother's milk should be, woman's milk should be aser, because uma behema shei kael kaltav maga'at. After all, an animal, the Torah is lenient regarding touching an animal. You can't be tamei by touching any animal. You can touch a pig all you want, you don't become tamei. Chmarta v'chalba, but still the Torah is stringent about its byproducts, like its milk. Adam shachmarta maga'o, when it comes to a person, many kind of people can be tamei, and if you touch them, you become tamei. Azav, metzora, nida, etc. And adin shtachmir v'chalbo, so kal v'chomer, the Torah should say that its milk is asur. Talmud Lomar, therefore, the Pasuk says, in regarding the four animals listed as failing the test of the two signs of kashrut, in the case of the gamal, the first one listed, at the gamal ki male gerahu. Right, the camel you may not eat because even though it is male gera, it chews its cud, nonetheless it does not have a split hooves. And the word hu, ki male gera, it could have said male gerahu, meaning hu tamei, ve'en chalav mahachishtayim tamei. This animal is tamei and its byproducts are, but not the byproducts of a biped, of a human. Elatahor. And I continue on that. Yachol otzi etachalav sheno sheva vakol. Maybe that only applies, in other words, maybe the exception of saying that human byproducts are not mitame and are not usur. That perhaps only applies to chalav, because after all, first of all, it only applies to half of the animals, only to the females. It only applies to mammals. Third of all, it only applies to non-kosher animals. So I would think that perhaps when it comes to chalav, I make that distinction and say human milk is not asur. But velotzi et adam shushavav akol, but perhaps the blood of a human is asur, just like the blood of an animal, where the blood of an animal, whether it's a kosher or non-kosher animal, whether it's male or female, mammal or otherwise, it still is, well, shall we say mammals, it still is asur. Tamal omar hu, again, the Torah says, etagamal kimala girahu, hu tamei vein dam mahachishtayim tamei ala tahor. So in other words, the byproducts, both milk and blood, of a, so the liquids that are excreted by and then brought out by from animals which are tamei, nonetheless, it's not true about human beings, which means that you can't say that the mother's milk after 24 months or over whatever time it is suddenly is kionek sheketz. Not only is dam of a human being not tamei, there's not even a mitzvah midrabanan to avoid it. Midrabanan didn't say that if you're bleeding, you have to spit it out and you have to make sure that there's no blood in your mouth. I didn't say you're bleeding in your teeth or something. So how can you say that this thing with the milk? So the answer is lo kasha. How the parish? How the lo parish? Parish here is used differently than the rest of the sugya. What it means is as follows. In the case where the milk was expressed and put into a separate thing, then, as an independent food, it's kosher. unlike pig's milk. Pig's milk, you put it into a bottle and drink it, it's treif, chayv makot. But if lo parish, which means you're nursing directly, then it's kiyonek shekets. And it's important to note that it's not because of the food itself, but it's because of the kind of sexual contact that's involved. Good. So the chilufa bedam, parenthetically, the prohibition as it regards to human blood is flipped, which is that if it has left the body, then it's a problem, but if it's inside, still in, within the secret areas of the body, secluded areas of the body, then it's not, as we will see, kedetanya. Dam shal gabei kikar, if, let's say you're cutting a sandwich and you cut your finger and there's some blood on the bread, gorov ochlo, you knock it off and you eat. Shebein hashinayim, but if you have blood between your teeth, somebody punched you or you fell and you're bleeding, you can suck it and swallow it, and there's no problem, because dam is not really a problem. So if it's still within the body, unlike chalav, where we actually say the opposite, here we say it's not a problem. But if it's left the body, then in the case of dam, midrabanan, we avoid it. Now, Amar Mar, back to the Braita, Rabbi Yeshua Omer, afilo arba v'chamesh shanim. Hai v'atan Rabbi Yeshua Omer, afilo chavidato ktefav. Rabbi Yeshua gave a different shear. Not 4 or 5 years, but rather, even if the kid is walking around carrying packages, in other words, he's already an older kid, the answer is, idididi chad shiuruhu. That's what Rabbi Yeshua meant. And again, I believe that what that means is Rabbi Yeshua did not mean 4 or 5 years exactly, but he means even if the kid is a toddler and he's already able to carry things around, etc., nonetheless, if he has never stopped in the middle, and we'll see for how long, then indeed he can continue nursing. I'm Rabbi Yosef, halachak Rabbi Yeshua. Good, that's the first thing. We've asked Rabbi Yeshua that you can nurse longer than 2 years. Tanya Rabbi Marino Somer, Goneach Yonek Chalav V'Shabbat. If a kid is crying and is in pain, we allow him to nurse directly from an animal. A chaliva is a problem of mefarik, taking something out of its secreted area. But you allow him to nurse directly from the animal. My time, why? Because Yonek Mefarik Elachayad. Normally, how is milking done? It's done by hand. So if you do it by nursing, oddly enough, it is considered to be an unusual way to do it. But indeed, when humans are milking animals, it's an unusual way to do it directly by sucking. All right, and that means it's the Rabbanon. And therefore, Mokom Tzara lo Gazer Rabbanon. In the situation where the kid is in pain, the Rabbanon did not make such a gzera. Am Rav Yosef, halachak Rabbi Marinos. And we indeed rule like that. Tanya Nachum Ish Gal Yomer, just on the same theme, that doing something in an unusual way, which is an Issur Rabbanon on Shabbos, the Rabbanon did not gozer in the case of great exigency. There we had it with the child being in pain. Here we have another rule. Tzinor sha'alubo kashkashin. If you have a rain spout and there's a bunch of junk got into it, so it's preventing the water from draining, and the result of that is it's going to flood your roof and cause a leak in the roof and cause a financial loss, v'ma'achan b'raglo, you can go up there and shove the stuff down, tamp it down with your feet so that the rain can drain through there. But tzina, you have to do it quietly. B'shabbat v'eno choshesh, and you don't have to worry about be violating Shabbat, as you're not, because my tama metaken kilachayadu. By doing it with your foot, you're doing it with a shinui, and that's called kilachayad. And therefore, it's the rabbanan of malkom pseidelo gazur rabbanan. In the case of financial loss, the rabbanan were not gozer. Now, I'm Rav Yosef. Halacha kenachum ishgalya. Again, Rav Yosef issues this psak that we accept this leniency. Now, back to our brayta. Again, we're still on the brayta of milking of nursing and. Away from the issue of the ketubah component, but just about how long a child may nurse. Pireish lachar asrim v'arba achodesh v'chazar kionek shekets. Even Rabbi Yeshua agreed that if after 24 months the child stops nursing and then comes back, then it's inappropriate, then it's like eating tarfus. The question is, v'chama, how long did he stop? An hour, 2 hours a day? I'm Rav Yehuda Amar Bar Chaviva Amar Shmuel Shtoshay Amim, 3 days. Ikada Amri Tanu Rav Yehuda Bar Chaviva Kamei Shmuel. Either he quoted Shmuel or he said it in front of Shmuel, and evidently Shmuel approved. Shtoshay Amim. Either way, it's the same thing. 3 days. So if he stopped for 3 days and was eating other things, and then he comes back, now it's no longer a needed nursing, and we stop him. Tanu Rabbanan Meneket Shemet Ba'ala Betoch Asrim Va'arba Achodesh. You have a woman who's nursing, and her husband died within 24 months of when the baby was born, so she's still within the first 24 months, harezulo titares velo tinase, she's not allowed to get betrothed or get married, and the concern here, of course, is that if she does so, then she may become pregnant, and her milk will deteriorate, and the child will be in trouble. Adesim varva chodesh tivar meir. A meir says for 24 months, till the 24 months are up. She doesn't have to wait 24 months, she has to wait till 24 months are up since the child was born, to marry. Rabbi Yehuda Matir b'shvona asar chodesh. Rabbi Yehuda says no, 18 months. Now, this sounds like a machloka b'cham b'hilo. Amar Rav Natan bar Yosef, Hene de Rishonim, Hene de Vitel, Shavet Shammai Omrim, Asim Ve'arba Achodesh, Vitelal Omrim, Shvonas Achodesh. Beit Shammai indeed said that a woman nurses for 24 months, and Beit Hillel said she nurses for 18 months. The question is that really a parallel? Rav Shimon Gamliel, Ani Afaresh. Rav Shimon Gamliel, so the proper gear says, Ani Afaresh, I'm going to explain why they're not aligned. Because, of course, that would put Reb Meir in the hot seat. Why are you ruling like Beit Shammai? The Divrei Omer Esrim V'Arba Chodesh, Beit Shammai, who says that a woman has to nurse for 24 months, Muter L'Nasei B'Esrim V'Achad Chodesh. He would say that after 21 months she can marry. We'll see why in a minute. The Divrei Omer B'Shmonasar Chodesh, and according to Beit Hillel, says 18 months, Muter L'Nasei B'Chamishasar Chodesh. She can marry at 15 months. So you can see there's a constant of a 3-month gap. The milk only deteriorates after 3 months. So that means that if the husband died and she was already 12 months, the baby was already 12 months old, according to Yehuda, in 3 months she could marry, because even if she gets pregnant right away, she'll still have 3 more months of milk, and there's your 18 months. Good. So now we have a story that happened. I'm Ula Halacha Kar Yehuda. Chanina allowed me to marry a girl who was nursing when it was after 15 months since the baby was born. She was divorced or widowed. Now, Arise da Abaye. Abaye had a sharecropper. Ata lekame da Abaye. He came to Abaye. Amar le mahu le ares b'chamisha asar chodesh. Can I get betrothed at 15 months? So Abaye lists all the reason why it's okay. Amar le chada. First of all, the mayor of Yehuda, Allah of Yehuda. Machloket of Meir Rabbi Yehuda, we pass on like Rabbi Yehuda, 18 months. Second of all, the Od Beit Shammai Hillel, Lachok Beit Hillel, we pass on like Beit Hillel, which is 18 months, and then of course, based on the explanation, 3 less, so 15 months is fine. Okay, V'Amar Ula, Lachok Rabbi Yehuda, V'Amar Maruk Vali Tir Rabbi Chanina Seit Lachar Chamisha Sachodesh. So by quoted all the things we just saw that say you can marry after 15 months. He said Kol Shekein Da'at Le'Areis, and you. And there's a play on words of the aris, the sharecropper. How much more? So you could certainly betroth the girl at 15 months, right? So he said, no problem, go. And the guy goes off to betroth her. In the meantime, he out to the commander of Yosef. Abaye came to his Rebbe, Rav Yosef, and told Rav Yosef what happened. Rav Yosef said back, Amar Rabbi Shmuel, Amri Tavayu, Tzricha Lahamtin Asim V'Arba Achodesh, Chutz Miyom Shinoladba, V'Chutz Miyom Shintarsabo. Rabbi Shmuel differed with the entire direction of Psak, and they said, in every case, a woman has to wait a full 24 months besides the day the kid was born and besides the day of Erusin. So 24 months plus a day on each side before getting even betrothed. So what happened? Abaye realized he'd made a mistake. Rahat Batre, Tflata Parsi. Abaye ran 3 parsot. Famila Parsa Bachal, or maybe 1 parsa in the sand. Either way, he ran a long way or a hard way to catch up with the sharecropper and tell him not to get betrothed. Velo Adrachay didn't catch up with him. Amar Abaye, so what was Abaye's Musar Haskel from this? I milted the Amar Rabbanan, that which the Rabbanan said. Afilu berata b'chutcha, lo lishri inesh b'malkam rabbe. Even a simple question like this egg in the kutach, whether it's milchik or not, etc., a person should not answer if he's in the district of his teacher. Lo mishum de mechziki afkaruta, not because it looks like a lack of respect or irreverence. Lo mishum de lo mistayim milted the meimra, because it just won't work for him to say the right thing. So he won't have the siyata d'shmaya if his Rebbe's in the area and he's ruling. The ha'ana have gamir nolei lahadi Rabbi Shmuel. I already knew the halacha Rabbi Shmuel that you always have to wait 24 months. Afilu achi, lo mistayim milted the meimra. It still didn't work out for me to say the right halacha because I was doing the wrong thing ruling in the presence or in the area where my Rebbe Rav Yosef was. Now, we continue on again with the theme of Hanukkah. Tanu Rabbanan, na bina l'minaket. Let's say a woman handed her child over to a wet nurse. O gemalto, or she weaned him early. O mate, the child died. Mutar l'nasei miyad. Then she can marry right away. Of course, that's after if there's a 3-month of break. A papa of Huna Rebbe Yeshua, Savra l'me'avad uvda kemanita. So these two great chachamim of the fifth generation of Amoraim wanted to rule in practice based on that and allow a woman who had weaned or had given the child over to a wet nurse to let her marry before the 15 months or the 24 months were up. Amr lehu hahi savta. So an old woman said to them, v'didi have uvda. It happened to me, I guess, when I was younger. V'asa le Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman wouldn't allow me to marry till the time was up. V'aini Rav Nachman shara lehu leverish galuta. I, Rav Nachman, allowed the women in the exilarch's house, the wealthy connected exilarch's house, and that was Rav Nachman's family, of course, his in-laws, he allowed them to marry in such a case? The answer is Shana Resh Galuta Deloha Derahu. And now we find out what the reason is. In the house of the Resh Galuta, no nurse, wet nurse is going to give the kid back in the middle. First of all, she's getting paid well. Second of all, would not stand her in good stead with the Resh Galuta's house. And therefore, since there's no concern whatsoever that the woman is going to have to start nursing again, then we allow her to marry. But a regular person, the wet nurse could quit in the middle of you. Maybe you don't pay her enough, whatever it may be, and therefore she may give it back. Which, by the way, would seem to indicate that if the child died, we would agree, or if she weaned the child, we would agree that she can marry. The only condition where we would distinguish between one family and another is if she handed the baby off to a wet nurse. Amar lo Rav Papi. So he said, "Va'atun lo tizbara mihadatanya." Don't you learn it from this braita? Harei shaita ridufa lelech levet avia. Let's say a woman is married, but she's always going back to her father's house. Or she had a fight with her husband. Or her husband is in prison. Her husband went off on a trip to the far away. Her husband is old or sick. And anyway, all of these circumstances where we know that there's no way she's pregnant when the marriage stops. She was barren or about past menopause. She was a sterile woman. She was very young. Or she had a miscarriage after her husband died. She's somebody who cannot give birth for whatever reason. You still need to wait the 3 months, something we saw in Yevamot, between the end of the marriage and the new marriage. Even though it's physically impossible for her to get pregnant and for her to be pregnant now, nonetheless, the rule is 3 months across the board, which would mean that if the rule is 24 months from when the baby is born till you can remarry, that should apply whether the kid's alive, dead, weaned, not weaned, wet nurse, not wet nurse. So why are you making these distinctions? Divrei Rav Meir, that's Rav Meir. Rabbi Yossi matir le'areis v'nasei miyad. V'amar Rav Nachman amar Shmuel, alachak Rav Meir b'gzerotav. Even though there's a machloket Rav Meir and Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi says in a circumstance like that, she can have erusin immediately. And by the way, Rabbi Yossi said in general, you don't have to wait to have erusin. Ha'arusoti nasuva nesuoti itarsu. Nonetheless, here, certainly, we should rule like Rabbi Yossi. We always rule like Rabbi Yossi or Meir, but we rule like Rabbi Meir b'gzerotav. Rabbi Meir makes a protective decree. We always accept that. And so, therefore, we know that we never play around with the time frame of 3 months or of 24 months. Playing around meaning we don't allow local circumstances to color it, but rather it's always 24 months. Right? So, Amrilei lavadatin. So, Rabbi Papa and Rabbi Huna Breda Yeshua said, you know what? We weren't thinking about it. You're right. V'elchata, with halacha, is kind of a split. Meit mutar. If the child died, and there's no way she's going to be nursing again, then indeed she can marry right away. So we don't make it hard and fast 24 months all the time. Gemalatu asur. If she weaned him, then it's asur, because she may end up having to nurse him again. And certainly with the wet nurse, unless perhaps it's a family like the exilark. Mabra Rashi Amar, afilu meit nami asur. He disagrees, and he says even if the child died, still asur. Why? Dilma katlalei va'azla umin sabah. Because maybe what will happen is the woman really wants to get married. She's very lonely. There's a good opportunity to marry a husband. And she's got this kid. Maybe she'll strangle the kid. So then she will be off the hook and she'll be able to marry. Right? So therefore, we have to preempt it by saying, even if your child dies, you still can't marry, which will take away her motivation. Now, have uvda v'chanakte. And remember, Ravashi says, you know what? There was a case where a woman actually did strangle her own child. Terrible, terrible thing. We say velohi. That's not the case. He showed the havai. That woman was crazy. The avdinash and the chankan banai. Women do not strangle their own kids, even in a circumstance like that. And therefore, we have no concern. And therefore, that one incident that happened, a terrible tragedy, but the woman was crazy. And therefore, you cannot bring a raya from there. Here, shota means somebody who's lost her mind. Tana rabbanan. Hareisha natnula ben lahanik. Now it's the flip side. We're talking about the wet nurse. Let's say that a wet nurse was given a child to nurse. She cannot nurse with him, and at the same time, her own son or her friend's son she took in, she's not allowed to do that. Paska kim'a, let's say that she made a deal and they were feeding her as part of her nursing, very little, and she agreed to it. Ochelet harbe, she still has to eat the proper amount because the child will suffer. She doesn't have a right to do that. And she should not eat things that are bad for milk. Now, let's look at that bright. Ashta ben Amartlo, you just said that she cannot have her own son nursing with this one, this client's son. Ben Chaverta Mebaya, so another guy, person's son, you have to tell me? So Mahu de Tema, Benahu de Chayasila Ve Mam Tzile Tfei. Maybe because it's her own son and she cares about him, she'll make sure that he gets enough too. But as far as the other fellow, the friend's son that she's nursing at the same time with the client's son, as it were, if she didn't have extra stuff, then she wouldn't get him anything. So Kamash Malan, that, in other words, we're saying that she would certainly not be nursing this other kid if she didn't really have enough left over, which means the client's son is not being cheated and there's no danger here. Kamash Malan, that's also a problem. And Kamash Malan, she cannot nurse anybody else, not her own child, and not her friend's child or anybody else, if she's taken somebody else, somebody's child, and hired on to nurse him. Okay, Pascha Kimo Achala Tarbe. So we said if she arranged to have very little food, nonetheless she has to eat a lot. Mehecha, where's she going to get it from? Rav Sheshi Mishala, she has to provide it herself. So lo tochal imad varim arayim. Mind you, what are things that are bad for milk? Rav Kahana can go on kishut v'chaziz, certain kinds of roots. Vagim ktanim, and little fish, v'adama, meaning dirt. Abayama afilu kara v'chavusha, different kinds of gourds. Papa ma afilu kara v'chufra, other kinds of gourds. Rav Asher ma afilu kamcha v'harsana. Harsana is that delicacy with the fried fish. All right, these are all things that are supposedly bad for milk. Minayu paski chalba, some of these stop milk. Minayu achri chalba, some of them spoil the milk. Now, parenthetically, the Misham Shebei Rechaya, if a woman has relations in like a place that's very perfumed, like a scent shop or something, then Havula Bani Nichpi, she'll have kids who who have a bad disease, kids who are born sick. Misham Shalar, if she has relations on the ground, Havula Bano Shmute, she'll have kids who have very long necks. That's the way Rashi reads it. Darcha al Rama de Chamra, right, that if she was Havula Bani Girdani, which means that a woman who walks on the blood of a donkey, as well as presumably while she's pregnant, then Havula Bani Girdani, she will have children who are scabby, who have scabs. The next piece is the achla chardal. If she eats mustard during her pregnancy, of course, havula bnei zalzalani, she will have kids who are very hungry. The achla tachli, if she eats cress, it's kind of a vegetable, she eats cress, then havula bnei dulfani, she'll have kids who are always tearing. The achla minyani, if she eats little fish, then havalu b'nei matzitze eina, shall have kids who have always blinking eyes. Again, this is during pregnancy. De achla gargushta, a woman who eats fish brine, okay, a woman who eats fish brine, then havalu b'nei mechu'ari, then she will have excuse me a second. Ta'achli minyani havalu b'nei matzitzena. Those are kids who blink. Ta'achla gargushta havalu b'nei mechu'ari. She will, if she eats clay, then she's going to have just very ugly children. That's the take on it. And we continue with how she'd be eating during pregnancy. Deshatya shichra, if she drinks mead during that time, well, b'nei uchmi, she'll have dark children. Ta'achla bisra v'shatya cham, if she eats meat, drinks wine, Havaluhu b'nei bari, she'll have healthy children. The achla bei, if she eats eggs, havalu b'nei inani, she will have children who are who have big eyes. She eats eggs. All right, so these are all the good things that she should eat. The achla chavri, if she eats fish, proper sized fish, havalu b'nei chinani, graceful children, charming children. The achla karpasa, if she eats that kind of vegetable, havalu b'nei zivtani, she'll have children with a nice skin condition. The achla kuzbarta, if she eats coriander, then havulu bnei bisrini, then she will have children who are stout, who are strong body, strong bodies. The achlu itroga, if she eats a natural havulu bnei rechani, she'll have children who smell very nice. Barte de Shavur Malka, Achla Ba'ima Etroga. Shavur Malka's wife, daughter, so the mother, when she was pregnant, ate etrog. They would bring the daughter up in front of all of the spices. She smelled so good. He checked and he asked the following question. Rav Huna asked us the following. Let's say a husband and wife get in a dispute. She says, I want a nurse. And the husband says, I don't want you to nurse. Get a wet nurse. Shominla, we listen to her. We let her nurse. Why? Because it's her physical pain of not nursing. What if she says, I want you to nurse? She says, I don't want to. Mahu. So call Echad Alav Orcha Shominla. If it's not her family custom to nurse, to nurse, then we allow her not to. He orcha, v'hu lav orcha. What if it's her family custom to nurse, but she doesn't want to? It's not his family custom to nurse. My. So vatu didazlin or vatu didazlin. Do we follow his family custom, which is not to nurse? Do we follow her family custom, which is to nurse when we force her to? Pashit na lemiha, and Rav Huna answered as follows. Ola imo v'ino yoredet imo. She only goes up in status and not down in status when she marries him, which means that if she doesn't want to nurse, that's her call. And she cannot be forced to go down to the level of people who do nurse. So Amrav Huna, my kra, what's the pasuk that says, Olai Mo V'nei Redet? In Breishit Chaf, when we're describing Sarah, Hashem describes Sarah to Avimelech and says, by the way, she's married. He says, V'him Be'ulat Ba'al. What does that mean? Ba'al Yatosha Ba'al. She's at, Be'ula is a place of, like, a play on the word Ola, as if she is at the height of her husband, with the heights to her husband. She doesn't go down with her husband. She doesn't go down in status, only up. Rabbi Lazar Amar Mehacha, different pasuk in Breishit, Kehi Haita Eim Kol Chai. Chava is called Chava because she's the mother of all living things. L'chayim nitna v'lo l'tzar nitna. In other words, she was given for life and not for pain. Okay, good. Now back to our Mishnah, finally. The Mishnah said that if she brought in one Shifcha, then she stops doing certain things, two, three, four, etc. Hashara Avda? So what? If she brings in one Shifcha, why does she have to keep doing any jobs? V'temolei, why did you say, I brought another woman in my place. In other words, she could do all the work that I was supposed to do, and I don't have to do anything. The answer is, Shumda Amarla ha-tarcha li-didiu li-dida. She's working for me and for you. Kame didach mantar, who's going to then serve you, as it were? So then, sh'tayimenam v'shal v'namanika, right? She says, brings two, then she doesn't have to cook or nurse, etc. Hashara avda, she has to make the bed and the wool, etc. I brought in another woman, the tarcha lididil lidida, who's going to take care of me and you, and another one for you and for me. In other words, everybody's being taken care of here. So Mishum Damarla kami urchi ufarchi mantarach. Who's going to take care of all the guests? Because now that there's so many people in the house, there's guests. Shalosh en matzata mita hashara avda. But even if there's three, she still does other jobs. Why doesn't she say, I brought you one woman in my place to take care of you. I brought another one to take care of me and her. Right? And then I brought a third one to take care of the guests. Suddenly we have a big house. We got a lot of guests. So why don't you play the same game? And every time you get another shifchen, you'll say, but the house is bigger and there's more to take care of and you still have to work. The answer is, Arba came in the nefishi lehu messiah nadadi. Once there's four, they already help each other. And they work together. By the way, in the Mishnah, when it says if she brought in one, two, three, or four, it doesn't mean she actually brought him in, but rather, since she brought in enough money that you could have that many slaves, even if she didn't bring them in. And Rabbi Breita, that sort of supports that, it says whether or not she actually brought in slaves, or she just took less for herself, so that there is now money to spend on those slave girls. Either way, she is off of certain of the malachot based on the scale. Now, we said if there's four, then Yoshev B'Katedra. Yitzhak Brachinna Amar Avuna Av Pishamri Yoshev B'Katedra, even according to the Tanakama, who says that she sits in a katedra and she doesn't do any work, nonetheless, Ava Mozeget Lokos, she pours his cup of wine, Matzat Loatamita, she makes his bed. That's why I said early Mishnah that matzata mita really means all the beds. She washes his face and hands and feet. Why? Because these are things not of work, but rather of intimacy. All the malachot that a woman does for her husband, cooking and cleaning, etc., A woman who's a nida can do chutz mi, mizigat akos v'amitzata mitava chatzpanat v'avar aglad, except for those three things, because those are things that lead to intimacy, and we don't want them to have intimacy when she's a nida. V'atzata mita, what about making the bed? Amaravel amran ela b'fanav, that's only if he's around. He watches her making the bed, it's romantic, it's exciting, it's got sexuality attached to it. But, v'shalo b'fanav, if he's at work and she's at home makes the beds, late lanbat. Umazigatakos, what about pouring the cup? What do you do when there's only the wife and the husband and you gotta have some wine? Shmuel machlefe revitu biyada de smola. What Shmuel's wife would do when she was a nida, she'd give it to him with her left hand. And always do it a little differently. Just remind him, I'm a nida. Abaya manchale apuma de kuva. In Abaya's case, his wife, when she was a nida, would put the cup down on top of a box. Rava Abesadya, in Rava's case, she would put it down above his head, near where he was sitting or he was reclining. Or Papa Ashashifa on a bench. This is a totally separate issue. He says you're allowed to not allow the waiter to eat something. And those meals, the way they would serve them, the waiter would eat from the mifur that was being served. You're allowed to tell the waiter you can't have this, you can't have that, chutz masar v'yayin, but you can't deny him some of the meat and some of the wine that he himself is serving. It's too hard for a person to be exposed to this luscious meat and beautiful wine and not be able to have any. Chista basar shamein v'yayin yashan. That's only fat meat and old wine. So Amarava, basar shamein means kol ashara kula. That's any part of the year. Yayin yashan mitkufat tamuz. That's only in the summer that it's really difficult to do without it. It has a very strong smell at that point. The heat has baked it up, and it's hard to do without it, and therefore it's really unfair to not let him have any of this. Rav Anan bar Tachlifa, v'kima kamei d'mar Shmuel. I was in front of Shmuel, v'aitu le'tavshila de arde. They brought him something that was cooked that was made of mushrooms, etc. If he loved Yoav le'istachni, if he hadn't given it to me, it smelled so good, I would have gotten endangered from my tremendous my tremendous hunger for this thing that I smelled. In other words, even things that aren't wine and meat, a person could go a little crazy from. Rashi, hame ka'imna kamed Rav Kahana, was in front of Rav Kahana, va'aitu le gargolide de lifta b'chala. They brought him pieces of a certain vegetable that were in vinegar, as brined. If he hadn't given to me, I would have been endangered from my hunger. Papa Amar, my appetite. Papa Amar, afilu tamarta de chaninuta. Even a fat kind of date is the same thing, right? Kol demilta. Here's the rule: kol de eat le'recha, eat le'kiyua. Anything that has smell and has some sort of texture to it is something that is really endangered if you put on the table and don't allow anybody who wants to have some. Avua bar ihi uminyamin bar ihi. These two brothers, chad sofi mikol mina umina. One of them ate from everything that was on the table. Chad safi michad mina. The other filled himself up with one sort of thing. He would eat only one thing during the meal and eat the rest sort of as dessert. Mar mishtai Eliyahu bahadei. One of them had Eliyahu come and talk to him. Mar lo ishtai Eliyahu bahadei. And the other one didn't have Eliyahu come and speak to him. In other words, we're saying that the one who was willing to have from everything that's on the table, he was somehow able to reach then some sort of a relaxation and a serenity that allowed him to have a mystical visitation from Eliyahu. Hanu tarten chaside. There were these two chasidim. Ve'amrila Rav Mari bar Pinchas b'nei Rav Chista, perhaps Rav Chista's sons. Mar karim safi uma ma'archer safi. One of them ate before they even put it in front of him, he would eat some. And the other one would eat after they put it in front of him and everybody else. He waited until everybody was served. The Kadam Safi, the one who ate first, Eliyahu Mishtai Bahadei. Eliyahu came to visit him and talk to him. Macher Safi Lo Mishtai Eliyahadei. This text seems to be pushing us in the direction of saying that you should act on your appetite immediately. Ameimar Rav Zutra Rav Ashi Havu Kayatvi Apitcha Deve Izgud Malka. All right, so they were sitting in front of Yezgedar, the king of the Sasanian king, I believe. Khalifa Azil Aturgana Demalka, the king's entourage, came in front of them. The waiters who would decide who was sitting where at the meal. Chazir of Ashi the Marzutra, the Chaver Ape. He saw that Rav Marzutra was getting white, blanched. Shakal Be'etzpate Anachle Befume. He stuck his own finger in his mouth to sort of get him out of his shock. Amarle, Hafsarat Lesudata Demalka. You've lost the opportunity with the king. They won't invite you because you look so bad. Amrulei amai tavid hachi. So they came up and they said, why are you doing that? Amar lahu man david hachi pasal ma'achal demalka. He said, anybody who does such a thing is not allowed to eat with the king. Right? So the officers said to Rav Ashi, why did you stick your finger there? And he said, because anybody who does this should not eat with the king. Amru le'amai, amru lehu davar acher chazoi bei. Because I saw davar acher, as Rav Ashi was explaining, I saw that there was basar chazir there. Bad kuvelo ashkachu, they checked, there was no chazir there. Shakal et pate anachale, amar lehu hacha mi badkitu. Have you checked here? Badku ashkachu, he put his finger somewhere in the king's house. And he said, you know, there must be chazir there. He put his finger there, and suddenly that's where they found the chazir. Amru le rabban and maitan asam chatanisa. So Rashi, you put yourself in danger, and you relied on a miracle. Amru le chazoi ruach tzarat kaparcha ilave. I saw that this other rabbi had tzarat. Hahu roma da amru la alahi ad itata. There was a Roman said to a particular woman, mitzavali, will you marry me? Amru le lo. It's a cute story, perhaps. She said, no. Azil aiti rimani. He brought some particular kind of fruit in front of her. Pali va'acho kama. He started eating them in front of her. Komayet etzari la balate. She was filled with saliva and she kept swallowing it because this thing was wetting her appetite. Flo havla, he didn't give her any. Ad de zagla, she got sick. Sof amar la im asina lach min savadli. If I heal you, will you marry me? Amra la in. So he tortured her to say yes. Azel aiti rimani, he brought some of this fruit. Pali v'achel kama, amarla komayit etzari lach, tuf shadai, all the water that's bothering you, spit it out, and spit out the saliva. Adenafka minaki hutsa yarka v'itziat, until a big green ball came out, like a leaf, came out of her mouth, and she was healed. In other words, he had created such a powerful appetite in her that their saliva became the substance, and she became sick, and then he told her how to solve it. Okay, back to our Mishnah, v'osa v'tzemer. He said she has to work with spinning wool. But tzemer in befishtim lo, only tzemer, but not flax. Matnitin mani, that follows Rabbi Yehuda. Tatanya, einao kofa lo lamod lifnei aviv, lo lamod lifnei aviv, no, he cannot force his wife to stand up in honor of his father or his son. Velo liten tevel lifnei vimto, he can't force her to feed his animals. O kofa liten tevel lifnei bikro, but he can force her to put food in front of the cattle. Rabbi Yehuda omer, af eno kofa lasot pepishtan, he can't force her to work in levonin, meshepishtan masriach etapeh, because evidently it was something that you would put in your mouth at some point, it makes the mouth taste terrible, it makes her bad, halitosis. Umesharvet et asfatayim, and it cuts the lips. Hanimilim b'chitna roma, but that's a particular kind of flax, chitna roma, that really does have those bad qualities. Otherwise, he can force her to work in flax instead of in wool. Rabbi Lezer, if you remember, said that even if she brings in lots of shvachot, he forced her to work because idle hands are the devil's tools. Malchio Amar of Ada Bar Ava. Now notice the name. Rav Malchio quotes and says, Halacha Rabbi Lezer. Good. That's, as far as we're concerned, that's all we need for our sugya. But there's an end note which is interesting. Amar Chanina Bereder of Ika. Shvod, the halacha about a skewer. Shvachot, the halacha about shvachot, v'gumot, about pits, Rav Malchio. Interesting to take a look at Rashi, you'll see all of the context, they have nothing to do with us. But you should know that the author of those famous halachot is not Rav Malchia, but Rav Malchio. Blorit, the thing about having a lot of hair, the issue of the Avodah Zarah, Efer Mikle, the thing about the Efer of Chatat, of a Paraduma, Ugvina, the issue of Gvinat Akum, Rav Malchia. That is Rav Malchio, but Rav Malchia. Alright, good. And what's the Papa Marvis Matnitin Umatnita Rav Malchia? He says, no, rather anytime it's mentioned in a Mishnah or Bright, that's Rav Malchia, Shmatita Rav Malchio. Anytime that it's a Shmua, meaning of a statement of Amoraim, it's Rav Malchio. In other words, Malchio is an Amora and Rav Malchia is a Tana. Simanecha Matnita Malkata. And the way to remember it is the Mishnah is the king or the queen. So it's Malchia, that's in the Mishnah. Now my Binai, what's the difference between taking Rav Papa's mnemonic, dividing between Matnitin and Shmata, and Rav Chanina's mention, which is Shvot, etc. Yikabinayu Shvachot, the difference is Shvachot, because Shvachot is indeed Heshmatata, a Mishnah or Braita, and therefore it should be Rav Malchia, but according to the first opinion, it was Rav Malchio who said it. In other words, whenever you quote somebody, are you quoting Rav Malchia or Malchio? Well, there's a way of determining which authority it is. Shemgal Omer, Hainu Tanakam, Shem Gamliel, if you recall, said that if a man makes a neder not allowing his wife to do work, it's ennui, etc., it's dangerous, it's a bad idea, and therefore he has to divorce her. So that's the same thing as Rabbi Eliezer, who we're calling Tanakama, Rabbi Eliezer, who said that you must have your wife work. So, Ikevanayu, Dimitala, Begurayta, Kitnaita, Menar Dashir. If a woman has a hobby, she plays with little dogs or something like that, so at least she has something she's doing, which means it is not a problem of boredom. But it is a problem of Zima because she's not being productive. So there is, it's possible, as we well know, to be productive and yet to be not bored, to be involved in things and yet not be productive, which would lead to Zima. Okay, in any case, we have finished a very, very long piece. In the next podcast, we will pick up with the next Mishnah, Hamadrid Ishta Mitash Shamita. Everybody should have a wonderful day.